Good morning, everyone, and welcome into another episode of the Found Generation podcast, a podcast for young people. On today's show, it is a history-making episode as I will be joined by my best friend in person from the living room of our spacious flat in Chelsea, London. Kelsey and I came here last month for a couple reasons. We both wanted to get out of our comfort zones. We wanted to strengthen our friendship even more. We wanted to grow both personally and professionally. But we also just wanted to take the foot off the gas. We wanted to let our hair down, step back, reevaluate, figure out where we're going in life. And we also just want to have a good time and make some memories with each other that we'll never forget. On today's podcast, Kelsey and I will dive more into these reasons. We'll also discuss some differences between life in the UK versus life in the US. We'll discuss how to adapt to unfamiliar, new, and scary situations. We'll also talk about whether we might decide to move here for good. Plus, Kelsey will roast me for being a bad flatmate, and she's going to air a whole bunch of grievances against me. So if that is more to your liking, we'll certainly have a bunch of that. If you want to support Kelsey as much as I do, I strongly recommend that you go check her out on TikTok at KelseyDavis_, where she regularly posts videos about all the fun things that she's up to in London and also back in her beloved city of Boston. With all of that said, here's my conversation with my best friend in the entire world, Miss Kelsey Davis. Your second appearance on the podcast, we had you way back when, December 2019, when we had only known each other for 6 months.
I don't want to talk about that. That was before I had gone to therapy. So I was so not confident at all, but I just blacked out. Even being in TV for that long, I literally blacked out on a podcast that had what?
It's the best.
Three views.
What are you saying? A lot of people listen to that. I got a lot of good feedback on that one.
Why?
I don't know, cute girl, whatever.
I'm the eye candy for the podcast.
You're the eye candy for my life, Kelsey. Anywhere I go with you, free drinks, free whatever, or people just think I'm cool by being in your presence. Really, it's the other way around, but
you think you've experienced that more in London?
Yeah, of course. Well, we've just spent much more time together in London than we ever have before, but I've always felt that way with you.
Because I feel like I'm a London, like 8.5. Like, I do well here. Maybe it's the dental work.
Okay. But
I don't think I got that as much in Boston.
What are you in Boston? What's your rating?
Oh, Boston girls are hot.
Okay.
And they're edgy. They're cool. I feel like I'm a Boston 7.8.
What is it with this decimal thing? When did we start going super into the decimals? I feel like that's a very recent trend. Now, you claim that we're in different generations, you asshole.
I am 100% Gen Z, and I finally decided to lean in.
We are 18 months apart.
I know, but you're a millennial. Like, there are things that are just drastically different about us. But the decimals came from El Prez. Like, as soon as he started doing pizza reviews, basically, like, anything that was a 7, 8, 9, like a solid number was a rookie score.
Okay.
So everybody started using decimals to rate everything, which I now do with my vanilla lattes in London. Or just oat milk lattes because I've grown up.
Yes, you do that on your TikTok, which we will get to later.
I get a shameless plug.
Of course, yeah. We'll, but later, not at the beginning of the podcast when everyone is listening. Only when they drop off later. So there's a bazillion things that we have to talk about. And quick disclaimer to the audience, Kelsey and I can be pretty ruthless toward one another. We're going to try to tone it down, but when we're speaking, we insult each other quite a lot. So we'll try not to do that. But if we do, which will inevitably happen, it'll probably hurt to me, don't be alarmed. Everything is fine.
There have been a couple of instances where Troy has insulted me in front of people who didn't get the banter that we have. And there was some shock.
Yeah.
But I think I'm quite kind to you.
I got hit by a car a couple weeks ago in London. And you nursed me back to perfect health. You were an incredible caretaker. It's one of your finest qualities. But a couple days later, once we had realized I was totally okay, we had been speaking with our mutual friend, Nim, over the phone. And he was very concerned, asking how I was doing. And I said, I'm all right. And Kelsey said to him, oh, I wish I had hit him with the car. To Nim, he was so horrified. I could hear it in his voice. He's like, all right, Kelsey, okay.
To be fair, when everything went down and Troy came limping into the flat bloody, I started to cry. Like, I genuinely love you so much. But once we realized you're okay, like, let's joke about it. That's how we get through trauma anyway.
Of course.
And so, yeah, I've hit your car with my car, but I've never
I'm aware.
I've never hit you with my car, and I'd like that opportunity at some point.
It'll happen at some point. We were talking about our wills last night, so I'm writing you out of my will based on these comments alone. But anyway, Kelsey, why did you want to move to London?
Oh, to completely get myself out of my comfort zone. I always talked a big game about moving to Europe or just moving out of the country in general, and I love Boston so much, but I've spent most of my life there. Like, I've studied a couple of places and I did a semester in New York, whatever, but I had never truly gotten out of my comfort zone for this period of time. And I felt like there was no better time to do it. Like, our lives just aligned and we booked flights pretty quickly once we were serious about it. I wanted to explore my own creativity. I wanted to run away from my problems, obviously. Why did you move to London?
Hold on. You're the guest on my podcast.
I get to ask you questions.
What problems do you have?
Well, I got out of a 5-year relationship. Mm. That one was brutal.
Yeah, it was brutal.
And I was sad. So I was like, I got to dip out of here. I can't look at America anymore because he lives in it, you know?
Okay. All right.
What other problems did I have? I think being newly single is just a problem in and of itself. Because I was getting so much attention that I didn't know what to do with it. And unfortunately, it followed me here.
You poor thing.
No, but like, I think there is something about being alone and being single in your 20s that's really important. And I just, I had people asking me on dates and wanting something serious, and it was stressing me out. So I ran away from my problems, came here, and recreated them.
Yeah, now you have new problems just in a different geographic area.
I know, and I have a hard time letting people down, and so yeah, I'm trying to enjoy
big time people pleaser.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying like that's what you are. That's not a good or bad thing inherently.
Yeah. I guess you're right. I think there's pros and cons to it, but I just end up being a caretaker, really caring about other people's feelings and sometimes putting those before myself. I'm working on that. I've been a little bit more selfish lately. Do you agree?
Yeah, to an extent.
Okay.
You eat all the peanut butter in the house.
What a take. That's the craziest thing you've ever said to me, because we have 2 jars of peanut butter over there and they will last until tomorrow, thanks to Troy. I mean, like, you're putting 2 to 3 tablespoons on each piece of toast. It's ridiculous.
And in my oatmeal.
And in your oatmeal. And you just take spoonfuls of peanut butter, which I'm not knocking because I will do it. We've actually come up with the best dessert of all time, which is a square of dark chocolate.
Yeah, we're going to set up
a scoop of peanut butter on it.
Yeah, we're going to set up a little shop or a little corner at the farmer's market and start selling that and goldfish.
Borough Market. Yeah, no, the fact that there's no Cheez-Its in the UK has been stressing me out. So they're in the mail from my cousin. And yeah, we're going to set up shop at Borough Market with our dark chocolate squares and Skippy peanut butter.
Of course. There's some shit peanut butter here, but we won't get into that. That's a story for a different podcast if we ever have you on again. We'll see. You're in the screening process, you might say.
I mean, it's my second interview.
Yeah. I mean, but there are a couple years in between, so.
Oh, wow. Was that shit, huh? Good to know.
What is living with me like?
I'm so glad you asked, Troy Farkas. I'm so glad you asked. Okay. I'll start with being kind to you that.
Thank you.
It is really nice to live with somebody that you care about, that you share the same values with. We have a very similar outlook on life and health and having a positive attitude for the most part. So there's never been a time that I'm like genuinely angry at you. But we have some different tendencies, given I like to sleep to a normal hour, like, I don't know, 10 a.m. 10 a.m. is a great time to get up and start the day. Troy likes to start the day before the sun comes up. Like, let me know why. And because he gets up at 6 a.m., he likes to stampede around the fucking house. I'm sure the neighbors have heard it too, but like as soon as you get up, I hear him racing to the peanut butter.
It's not my fault, okay? It is the creaky floors. We're in an old historic building. I'm walking quietly.
No, that's the thing. You're not graceful at all. Like, let's just be very honest. Like, you were stampeding and walking with heavy, heavy feet.
You call me fat?
Yes. No, we don't fat shame on this podcast. We don't body shame at all, right?
Not when you're here, no.
Oh, okay, okay. otherwise, I think you're a mess. Like, I was watching Troy make oatmeal the other day, and he opened the top of the box, but there's also an opening on the side of the box where it says to open it, and you would pour through that small hole. But he's pouring out of the top of the box, so there's also oats coming out the side of the box. And then he looks down at the cup. It's full of oats, but there's also a mound of oats next to the cup. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I have to clean it up. Like, I bring out Henry, our beautiful vacuum.
Of course.
Whom I love. He's a little happy face. And I'm using Henry. I'm Henrying like four times a week because there's coffee grounds and oats everywhere.
Okay. Two things in rebuttal. One, I think to call me a mess is a mischaracterization. I can be messy in isolated instances, but I'm not a messy person altogether. Like, my room is not a mess. Our space, like, I make a mess in the moment, but I clean up said mess. Now, you, second point, are a clean freak. You have OCD. You have severe mental issues when it comes to being clean. So other people would let the two coffee grounds on the ground go. You will not.
Yeah, and I've heard that complaint from many people that I've lived with, is that I'm not only organized, but like I'm consistently thinking about germs and bacteria, and like I'm bleaching the countertop every time I make a meal, which it's a little excessive. I get it, but imagine me the opposite.
Exactly. You know? No, like, I do not see this as a character flaw. I am not upset by this at all. So I would much rather have you be this way than the opposite, for sure.
Okay, fair. And no, your room isn't messy. It's not dirty.
Yeah.
Is it? There's things.
Yeah, there's a couple things.
Placed throughout the room that I'm just like, that has a place, you know? But that's my mind. And I think it's gotten worse since COVID, that I'm just like, I felt like I had no control over my life. Mental health hour. I felt like I had no control over my life. And like, that was something that I could control.
Exactly.
Was my space. Exactly. And so that's what I gravitated towards when, you know, shit was up in the air.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I had my yoga instructor on the podcast about a year ago, and she had a really bad eating disorder. And I learned a lot from her. In that conversation, she basically said, a struggle with an eating disorder is a struggle with control. Something in your life is spiraling out of control, so you just go to the first thing that you feel that you can control every aspect of it. And I think that can be for a lot of things, whether it's an eating disorder, you have a relationship that's going wrong, a job thing that's going wrong. What can I control? And people turn to all sorts of different things to control. So I fully get why you are the way that you are, but I also don't see it as a bad thing.
Yeah, I think I had a similar experience as the yoga teacher. What's her name?
Jessica.
Jessica, is that during that time, I was also tracking my calories, and I didn't even have a weight loss goal. Like, I had no chronic disease, no allergy, no weight loss goals, but somehow I was just continuously tracking my calories because it was some kind of control over, like, my life or whatever. So yeah, what a dark time. What a dark time for all of us, truly.
My New Year's resolution for this year, and I can't remember whether I told you or not.
We definitely shared it.
Yeah, definitely did. Of course you did. That's a classic me question. That is a classic me small talk question from December 16th to January 5th.
Yeah, you do. You ask great questions, but we have good conversation about our goals and our mental and physical health. Like, we are always kind of spiritual in that way, you and I.
So mine was a quote from my favorite.
Shocking.
I love a quotes. Quote. I love quotes. It comes from the great Marcus Aurelius, who was who, Kelsey?
A Stoic?
Is he
Stoic? Yeah.
He was the Roman emperor during one of the harshest times during the Roman Empire. And one of his quotes from the book Meditations, which I believe is the greatest book ever written, and that's not up for debate, is... Oh, okay. Be strict with yourself, tolerant with others. I have a problem of being very judgmental of people who don't live the way that I live or think the way that I think. And so I silently, you know, I've cast people out of my life or distanced myself from people because, you know, they just don't value the same things that I do. Like, oh, they sleep in until 10 a.m. lazy. And I, you know, there's all sorts of behaviors that I don't believe in that I wouldn't do. I don't understand why people sleep in. The sun is up. The world is up and moving. People are accomplishing things. Don't you want that too? That's my philosophy. And so what I am trying to do better this year is I know I give you a hard time about sleeping in. I'm just joking with you, messing with you.
Are you?
Yeah. So my initial thought, my initial judgment is, why is she sleeping in so late? Like, she slept for 10 hours at this point. Like, what doesn't she want? Doesn't she have things to go do? Does she want to go get a workout?
No, I don't.
Start the day. That's my initial thought. But, you know, the growth comes from noticing that thought and overcoming it and saying, wait, she knows what she's doing. She's an adult. She can take care of herself. Who the fuck are you to judge her for that? She knows what she has to do today. She's a good person with a good head on her shoulder. She knows what she has to do. She's going to get it done. And I should only be concerned as your friend if, like, you're just throwing your life away and accomplishing nothing and not getting your work done and not socializing and not accomplishing all the goals for this stay that I know that you have.
It wasn't a depression nap. Just really value my sleep. But I can see where you're coming from. And I actually think you may be a little too strict with yourself. But maybe that's next year's resolution, because right now we're focusing on other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a lazy person.
No, not at all.
You don't think so?
No. You're just a child. You like sleeping and you like food. And that's your key to happiness.
Who doesn't?
Me. I hate sleep. If sleep weren't a thing, if it weren't a necessary human function, I wouldn't do it.
What, wasn't it Sinéad who was on the podcast that you were talking about how important quality of sleep is?
Sleep is probably, number of hours of sleep and quality of that sleep is probably the most important thing that you can do for your life. And I know that. And this is the unhealthy patterns in my mind, is I know all of the things I need to do to be a physically, mentally healthy person, but there's just some block in there that just won't allow me to do it. And I don't know I've got a couple of ideas where it comes from in my past, but like, in my mind, sleeping for 8 hours, which is a universally recognized, scientifically backed, healthy thing for your physical, mental well-being, which would probably take me to a new level in my career and my capacity to think and create, there's just something in me that says, that's laziness. You can't do that. You got to go accomplish it. The American way of working hard is, you know, you wear lack of sleep like a medal of honor. Oh, I stayed up until 2 a.m. I crammed all night for that test. And that's something people take pride in. It's like a contest. Oh, yeah, you know, I worked 15 hours today. Look at me. I'm working so hard. I was the first at the office today. And I was the last one to leave. It's something that's celebrated in our athletes. Like, you want Tom Brady and Drew Brees, the first to the facility, the last to leave it. We celebrate that. And that's the culture I grew up in. That's why I love coming to Europe and seeing. Now, London's maybe not the best place for this because it's probably most like where we come from in America in terms of the European cities, but that's why I like going to Paris, or, you know, I haven't been to Barcelona, but I imagine it's the same way, considering they dedicate periods in the middle of the day to rest. That is something why I really like coming here as a motivation for me coming here, just to see how there's a different way of life. It's good to get out of your own bubble and to see how other people approach things.
You know, it can help you with your mental block.
What's that?
Cognitive behavioral therapy. And the sponsor, BetterHelp.
Anyways, get 15% off your first session with the code MASSHOLE.
Did you sign up?
No. I've used BetterHelp in the past. I didn't like it. And I had a therapist in Portsmouth. I really liked her. Shout out to Gwen, but it wasn't really CBT. I get great value out of talking to someone and, again, saying things out loud, but I didn't find it to be super helpful.
You just dump all your trauma on me.
I don't have that much trauma.
No, you don't. I do.
Like what?
Fuck off, Troy. Well, they say when you're starting cognitive behavioral therapy that you're supposed to be like dating these therapists. So when I found Marcy, who is now my ex-therapist.
I said like shopping around to find.
Yeah, her. Essentially. Okay. So what my doctor told me to do was book 5 because it's exhausting even to go search for a therapist. So if you do it all in one shot, you're just like, here's 5 places, 5 therapists. I set them all up like within 1 week, and then I just narrowed down. based on how I felt about them and how they felt about me and whether there was a good connection or not. And I found the greatest therapist of all time, wherever she may be.
She's back in Connecticut, where your other problems are.
Yeah. Don't go to Connecticut.
I love Connecticut, Kelsey. Connecticut is the best place I've ever lived. It's where I met you.
Oh, we live in London right now, brother.
I stand by it. Plantsville, Connecticut. If someone out there in Plantsville is watching this, I love you.
I've never lived in a place I hated more than Connecticut. Meeting you and meeting Emily, probably my best experiences. And the pizza, because it's the pizza capital of the world. But otherwise, I could never go back except to drive through to get to New York or Boston. Not for me.
What are the biggest differences between Boston and London for you?
Boston and London. I can immediately think of similarities, to be honest. Obviously, London is extremely old. Like, Boston has a lot of history to it. London has, what, like a thousand plus years.
It's funny because Boston is probably the most historic American city.
Right.
And then its history doesn't hold a candle to London's.
Yes. So that's huge. The architecture, the museums, everything like that is just so much older here. And they're equally as beautiful. I love that Boston's on the water. London's on the water. I had a dream last night that I jumped out of an airplane into the Thames. But anyway.
We'll unpack that one later.
Yeah, I need to tell you about that dream. But one thing about Boston or just American cities in general is that the social scene is so much better, I think, than in London. And it's not that there aren't places to go out in London and to enjoy yourself. Obviously, it's a huge drinking culture. But I just find that people are generally less kind. They're less apt to go up to strangers. I think if you're going out, like I am, I'm going out in a girl group tonight, I think it'll be a rarity that another girl comes up to me that's not in my group. And like, I've gone up to girls at pubs or bars or clubs, and they don't seem too keen on talking to me, especially when I think they hear my American accent. They have misconceptions.
Yeah, stereotypes.
Yeah, about how we are as a society and socially and whatever. So that's one thing I really miss about Boston. You think that the people are assholes, and we are. We're fucking assholes, but we're kind, and we do like a good time and to meet new people. And so I think in your experience, maybe it's a little different because I think you had friends from here. But since I've been here, I have not gone out with anybody who's British. I've been out with the Russians, the Swedes, the Italians, the Canadians. And that's the beauty of London. It is like a hub for traveling, I think. So you do meet people from all walks of life, from all over the world with different experiences. People are incredibly intelligent. But that's another similarity with Boston too, is that you have all the colleges and universities you can imagine and some of the top colleges and universities. And so you are also struck with people who are intelligent.
I feel like, and I experienced this in Paris when I was there a week ago, and London, I feel like you ask someone who goes to London or to Paris, you ask an American that, oh, the people there are so kind, they're so nice. That's what people say, because I think they want to speak that into existence. When they tell other people about their experience going to Europe, which is, you know, like a glorified thing in American society, I suppose, they want to project that, oh, it's better than America. They want to project some type of image like, oh, I'm better than you because I went there. And we have this idea that it's that life is better over here. So we say people are kind, but I don't think that's the case. I think me and you, are kinder people than the British people who live here, and definitely the French. I didn't think they were kind at all.
That's the thing with the French, is that I think when they see you're trying, like, I mean, you said hello instead of bonjour. Like, you're not even giving it a chance.
What, you want me to sound like a loser? Oh, bonjour.
That was beautiful, Troy.
Was it? I don't think so.
That was gorgeous. Yeah, I mean, the accent, like, it's tough because you do have to say it in an accent. I don't think that people are necessarily kinder in one place or another. I think it's that they're just, like, less open-minded. And, like, people, this is the problem with the perception of Americans. It's like, I believe it's only 20% of us have our passports. And so if we're here, there's a reason that why we're here, and that's to explore, that's to broaden our horizons, that's to travel, that's to understand new cultures or whatever. And Like when we were, what market did we go to two Saturdays ago? What was
Pem? Started with a P. So long word with a P.
Portobello Market.
Portobello, yeah.
We're at Portobello Market. I'm flipping through old fashion ads and I'm loving it because I love the history of fashion. Very exciting for me. And I look over and there's this girl also looking through them and she looked about my age. I don't know where you were, wandering somewhere. What else is new? And I went to go say something to her because I saw that we had a common interest. And she immediately turned to her friend before I even opened my mouth. And she was like, something about Americans being annoying and dumb. And I really feel like that perception comes from like television, or the one time they went to America was like Florida,
right?
Which, like, fair.
Yeah.
Fair. If that's your experience with America, got it. You're not wrong. That's your perception. That's all you've seen of it. Like, we come from educated backgrounds. We're really curious about Europe. We know that American politics is corrupt and draining and a laughing stock to the rest of the world. And like, that's why we're here. And so I think that if people were a little bit more open-minded to just foreigners and tourists in general, we'd have a better experience. But, you know, our country speaks for us in a lot of ways. But I feel like our generation is educated. We're going to travel more, make hopefully America a better place to travel. We just need the boomers to die the fuck off.
I've actually come away with a little better appreciation of Americans, to be honest.
Don't say that. We're going to get canceled.
Obviously, as you just said, we've got a lot of problems for sure. A lot of things that we should not be proud of. But I think by and large, I think we're pretty fun. I think we go out places and people are drawn to us. People like our energy. We bring something to the table that a lot of the people here who are from here don't. And I think it's the cool thing here to shit on Americans. Rightly so. That's justified. Right. I think we're fun.
Yeah. And I think that's their perception of annoying, right? It's like you and I walk into a space and we're very high energy. We're excited to be there. And it's almost not cool. Like, it's cool to not care and to not be too into things. And we just don't subscribe to that. We're, like I said, high energy. We're ready to have a good time. We want to meet new people. We're curious people. So we automatically are asking questions. And you know what? That might be annoying to some people, but like, you're right in a way that I like that part about being American, but I am consistently feeling like I have to either apologize for being American or like basically tell them like, yeah, America sucks, just to like get them to understand where I'm coming from, even though I don't really feel that way. Like, we did live a very blessed, healthy, happy life in America. Like, we're not coming from nothing, and a lot of people do. I don't hate it. There are things that I miss about it, Cheez-Its being one of them.
Yeah, Cheez-Its.
And my family.
In that order.
So, yeah. What do you miss? What do you appreciate besides the energy?
What do I miss about America right now? Honestly, I don't miss that much. I mean,
see, and that's the thing.
I miss
me either.
I miss my friends and people I care about, but
move them here.
Might have to. I mean, I miss my friends. I miss my family, but American culture, I don't necessarily miss. I don't miss the, I know American food is better than British food.
Oh, but the food here is shit.
Yeah, but
fucking
the
hell.
Quality of food in terms of ingredients and sourcing and whatnot is better here than in America. Yeah. Kelsey's a new nutritionist, by the way, or studying to become one. So this is something we talk about a lot.
I'm almost finished with my master's in nutrition. And one of the things I immediately noticed when I was here and walking into a grocery store was the amount of healthy options that were affordable. And that was in an M&S, which is not considered one of the...
It's posh.
Is it posh?
Yeah.
I mean, it's M&S, no way posh. But yeah, we're starting to...
We are so judged everywhere we go. So we live in Chelsea, which is kind of one of the more upscale, very safe neighborhoods.
It's the Royal Borough of Chelsea and Kensington. The Royal Borough.
The Royal Borough.
Let's not be confused here. It's posh.
And anytime we say that we live in Chelsea, you can see the eye rolls. You can see the judgment. Oh, that's posh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, bitch. Yeah, we're posh.
I fuck with it. I really...
Here's my water in a wine glass.
It's like, oh, you're from East London? Embarrassing.
Oh my God. What did I say that one night we were out to that random kid on the street?
I know. First of all, don't mess with the South Londoners. I don't know. Troy was drunk and had no business opening his mouth. And Troy goes, where are you from? I mean, the kid must have been 18. He goes, South London. He goes, oh, you're one of those? I'm like, Troy, we rent a fucking Airbnb in Chelsea, okay? We're not posh. Stop acting like it.
Yes, we still have, we have a toaster currently on the floor. We have a microwave in the laundry room. The cameras for this podcast are being propped up by all sorts of props from the house. So
I brought my tripod, but I mean, our burner is literally one little burner. There's no stove. There's no oven. Like, we really are making fire meals with the best equipment that we possibly can.
Yeah, get you a friend like this who can cook and take care of me in this way. It's great. This is my other favorite thing about, and I've moved a lot over the last couple of years. I've lived in a lot of different places, a lot of different environments, solo and with other people. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with throwing myself into new and unfamiliar situations in new places and just figuring it out. I feel like that is something that people underestimate. We are literally made to adapt. We have been doing it as humans since we first started walking this earth. We have this incredible ability to adapt. When we first got this Airbnb, or we were looking at the listing for it, and it's like, well, there's no oven. There's no burners except for this one little hot plate. I can't live like that. How am I going to eat? And then we get here, and then we do it for 3 days, and it's like, oh, Now I'm considering going back to Boston or Portsmouth or wherever I go and just looking for a place without an oven and just getting a burner. I love adapting and adjusting to new situations, and people are so afraid to make big changes because they don't think that they'll be able to adapt. But yes, you can. The things that you're afraid to do, just throw yourself into that situation and then you just roll with the punches, and then you forget why you were even freaking out about making that change in the first place.
Yeah, to be fair, we had some anxiety about what the changes would look like here, but give your girl an air fryer or one hot plate, and we've made some pretty good meals. And as we were saying before, the nutrition here, just walking into a grocery store, and they have, what do we buy? 3 roast chickens for £8.
3 for £8, baby. It's a steal.
But a lot of it is affordable, and I see a lot of sections in the grocery store that's like, here's a complete meal, and you get to choose. It's like a three meal, no. Like, you get an entree and 2 sides, and it's like £10.
Yeah.
And so you can choose from like potatoes or rice, and then you get your protein, and then you get your vegetable. And it's a really good way to set up people to be healthier, is you just make it easier in grocery stores. A lot of the prepared food is pretty fresh and reasonably priced. I found that my nutrition has been better here. Just overall more balanced.
Yeah. I feel like an overall healthier person here for sure. Yes, we are drinking a lot, but even the...
Well, what? Drinking a lot?
Actually, yeah, that's right. You're drinking a lot. Bitch loves the juice.
I love the juice.
But I'll say even the alcohol here, now again, okay, maybe I'm speaking for myself here, but the beer is lower in alcohol percentage.
I don't drink beer.
Yeah. It's even the alcohol here is healthier.
Okay. That's a stretch.
It is for me. I don't know about you.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm drinking great wine, a lot of gin and tonic, taking tequila shots, really whatever anyone buys me. but no, I think my consumption of alcohol has gone up drastically since we moved here. And it's kind of exhausting and bad for my body, but we're walking everywhere.
Yeah.
We're biking. We went to
love the bikes.
I've been to like 10 different fitness classes since I got here.
Saunas, pools. My gym is great. Shout out to Retrofit in London. If you want to sponsor this podcast,
Troy is so posh. You want to talk about posh? Troy goes to a boutique gym. Like, are you kidding me?
Well, tell them about it.
I mean, you go there more. I've been there twice. They have the workout classes with like the flashing lights and the loud music. You have places to box. I mean, it's a beautiful gym. Meanwhile, I have ClassPass. So I'm doing a different class every couple of days. And today was in a park, in a muddy park with just kettlebells and mats. So, I mean, like, what a difference from when Troy took me as a guest this week to sit in the sauna and have all these nice, clean equipment. Like, it's just
all the towels that you could ever want. The hot towels, the showers, which I like. They got hand lotion for me.
As long as you know your roots, as long as you know where you came from, which are the shady Planet Fitnesses around the United States, you can enjoy your boutique gym.
Do you feel that now that I'm posh, do you feel I've lost my way, that I've forgotten my roots?
I think sometimes I have to remind you, but for the most part, no. I think you're humble, you're grounded, and you set goals and you stick to them. And so, like, no matter how much money you make, your philosophy was always to bring the people up around you. And, you know, we couldn't do this without each other. Well, you could probably do this without me, but I can't do this without you. And, you know, we have Emily, who we both met at ESPN. Like, you're so willing to find her design opportunities or whatever it is. And so I think you're consistently thinking about other people in your life and how to lift them up with you. And that's true to you and your character.
All right, stop hyping me up.
I feel ill.
Yeah. We'll cut that. We'll cut that out. What is your mental health like in London? Sips coffee. You're not supposed to drink coffee next to the microphone on a podcast. That's podcast 101. Jesus.
That's disgusting.
The disrespect.
It's disgusting. What has my mental health like been in London? I immediately felt less anxious when I got here and, you know, we had a home base. I think that there was a lot of anxiety leading up to it, but I am not working as much one. So I have a lot of time to focus on my mental and physical health, which is really exciting. Unfortunately, I came off birth control, full disclosure, when I got here. And so, like, I've had some hormone imbalances that I've had to deal with. And so, like, literally last week I randomly cried. And my friend looked at me and was like, why are you crying? And I was like, I have no fucking idea.
You do that every day.
No, I don't. I haven't cried much since I've gotten here. But I didn't even have a reason for it. It was just like, my body feels so weird. And that's kind of just the process of coming off of hormonal birth control. But overall, like, I mean, people call us and they're like, how are you? And we're like, fucking great. Couldn't be better. Sorry if your life is shit, but like, I'm living the dream. Are you homesick? No, I'm not. I don't. And like, that's just the true reality of it. And I feel like there's a lot of times where people ask how you are and you're just kind of like, yeah, I'm good. How are you? Just to get through the conversation. Yeah. But I've never genuinely meant it the way I mean it now, which is like, I'm awesome. And this is a great life. And I would continue doing it if my situation allowed it.
Do you feel that you've actually succeeded in escaping your problems from back there, or they followed you?
No, I don't think that proximity is going to completely erase your problems. And I think it's something that you have to consistently work on within yourself. The distance helps. I think it's helped me with a lot of excuses to get out of situations that I didn't want to be in. It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to be in London and then Hawaii for 2 months. So like, sorry, I really can't spend that much time with you. Or, you know, put too much energy or focus into something that I wasn't sure I wanted. So it's good. It's good in the sense that like, it's given me time to think about what I really want.
Have you come up with any answers?
No answers. I have no idea what I want in life. Maybe professionally I know what I want in life. But I'm still learning and adapting. So
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Right?
I don't feel that I've succeeded. And not that I had that many problems to escape from. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel I've escaped from them. When people ask me how I'm doing and how this whole experience is going, I mean, I genuinely mean, yeah, it's going great. Like, my life here is better than my life in Boston or Portsmouth, especially now that I'm fully proud to announce fully recovered from my hip surgery. We're almost there, Kels.
Despite getting rocked by a DHL van?
Yeah.
Hips looking good.
Hips is feeling great.
I saw this man run today.
Woo! We're running. We're biking. I'm everywhere. Squatting, lunging, mountain climbers, doing it all. But no, I don't feel that I have escaped my problems. I was, and I said this to you the other day, I was in Paris, and I'm at Montmartre. I don't fucking know. I don't know how to say
Montmartre.
It. Sure, that one. And I that was my favorite part of the city because I love having an aerial view. I'm very reflective when I can look down
Fun
upon
fact,
something.
I wrote my name and my ex-boyfriend's name on Montmartre.
Oh my God.
In there.
Emily told me when I posted a picture, Emily said, oh my God, you're standing right next to where I put a lock on the fence.
Yeah.
So I was there and I was overlooking the city. This was maybe Monday night. And here's this beautiful city. The Eiffel Tower is off to my right and Notre Dame Cathedral is there. And it's Paris, which Paris, I'm an art and history lover. And in ninth grade was when I first kind of started studying world history and studying world art. And that was the class that I fell in love with art, studying Monet and a lot of the great artists are French. And so Paris was the first place that I'd ever wanted to go. Before ninth grade, I'd never once considered going outside the United States or what life was like. It was not encouraged in my family whatsoever. I know it is for you. Mm-hmm. I just had this dream of going to Paris one day. I'm like, I want to go to Paris one day. I'm sitting in my art class looking at the Rouen Cathedral, looking at Monet's. I want to go there. And so I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, this is the first place you ever wanted to go. And 10, 11 years later, you have put yourself in a place where you can do that. I can afford to do that. I have the time to do that. I have a job that allows me to do that. And there's all sorts of crazy things that have happened to lead me to be able to do that. And so that is a moment where you would think I would be very grateful and very just overcome with awe and maybe emotion. And I wasn't, because there's so many other things that I, like you say, I am restricting myself and hard on myself and I'm never really satisfied with what I'm doing because I have all these other visions, all these other goals, and all these other things that I'm working on. I'm never satisfied with where I am, because there's so many more places I want to go that I never allow myself to be fully present. And so that's an issue for me.
Yeah, I think you struggle with being present, but also you've explained this to me in your travels in the past too, is that even while you're enjoying them, I think it's solo travel is great, but it's always better to experience it with somebody else.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we love London so much, is that we have been able to explore this city together. It is much more comfortable than, you know, going to another country where you don't speak the language and whatever. But you also tend to be more present when you're with people that allow you to do that. And you're in a conversation with somebody all the time where, like, you just spent 2-3 days in Paris, like, in your own head. And so you got to do some reflection on that, but yeah, being present by yourself is a really difficult task and something you have to work on and read about or go on medication like me.
No, I don't do that. It's one of those things, and I've come to this realization more and more over the last few years. I moved to Denver alone during a pandemic where I didn't know many people. I had some family out there, but
takes balls.
Yeah, not much. I moved to Portsmouth alone, didn't know anyone. So I've done this so many times, and I've gone on a bunch of solo vacations. I've done this so many times, and I've been trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, trying to make it work, because like a lack of sleep, I see it as some badge of honor to be able to do things by yourself, to not have to rely on anyone. I've been screwed over a lot in my life, and so like at some point I decided, you know what? I'm the only person I can trust. I will always be there for me when no one else is. So I just have myself convinced that it's just better to do things on your own. But I'm starting to realize that it, you know, you being here and sharing this experience with you is so much infinitely better than if I were doing this by myself.
We are disgusting today. We even prefaced
this. It's about time to wrap this podcast.
We even prefaced the podcast with like, we are complete fucking assholes to each other and it's fine. Don't be alarmed. And all we said is nice things.
Yeah, you said I was a mess. And you called me fat.
First of all, your hygiene is great. I will give you that. But you are messy. And I'm not taking that back. Fat couldn't be far further from the truth.
Yeah, we'll unpack that one too.
You're very fit.
Thank you. So you're going to Hawaii, huh?
I hope you're coming with me.
It's the plan.
That is the plan. I we are both kind of struggling with the idea of leaving London, though.
I know.
Because not only has it been such an amazing experience, but we started to build a community here a little bit and find our spot, our friends, our little cafes, just the way we go about daily life. And we're about to uproot that in a few weeks and have to start new and do that again. And part of that's really exciting, but it's also the end of a chapter. Like, this was our London era.
Oh my goodness.
Gen Z, baby.
You're giving posh bitch.
We're not going to drop the C word.
No, we're not. That is much more accepted here.
The C word. Yeah. Everyone's like,
big difference. Yeah.
So that may have entered my vocabulary.
Yeah. We're not going to bring that one back.
Yeah. We're not going to bring that one to America. But yeah, I'm very excited for why it's going to be a much different experience than living in this giant city. You know, we'll be with beaches and mountains, and I think it'll be a nice change from like a really fast pace of life. But I'm really sad to be leaving here, to be honest. And like, if I could stay, part of me was like, I think I would. But I guess we can always come back, right?
Yeah. Where are you at with that? I know we've said maybe a bit jokingly, maybe a bit seriously about being here long term. Go have a New England summer, because that's, you know, like you said, born and raised means a lot to you.
But also, if you are going to America, it's a New England summer that you want.
What's better, New England summer or New England fall? Like, if you had to choose one to recommend to a foreigner?
Go August, September.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, July is great on the Cape, and the hiking in the mountains is great. But also, like, hiking in the fall, one, you get the foliage. It's absolutely gorgeous, and you're not sweating your ass off because it's, like, I don't know, maybe 60 to 70 degrees or Fahrenheit, or closer to 12-15. Yeah, 12-15 Celsius.
12-15? Oh, 12-15.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, we're definitely going to enjoy a New England summer because, you know, our friends and family are there. We have so much planned and it'll be great. But long term, like, I could see myself in London. I graduate in May. And I will start applying to jobs in the health, wellness, and nutrition industry. And if an opportunity presents itself in London, preferably with like a Premier League football team, I'd go. I'm not really opposed to much. I think at this point, we're both willing to take risks and opportunities. How do you feel about living in London full time?
I would definitely be open to it. My job situation can accommodate it. The only logistical headache would be getting a work visa, but I don't think that would be too difficult to get. But I'd be open to it if I'm around people that I really care about, you. And then there are a bunch of people in London who I genuinely really care about as well. I think that would be enough.
Yeah, and the thing about...
And we also live in a desirable place to visit, so we would have a lot of people visit that care about us as well.
Well, who knows if we'd live in Chelsea, you know, full time. That's the thing, is like, this is a beautiful area, but this said rare find on Airbnb, and it was not that expensive. But the thing about the people is, and like, I would love to live near my best friends and my family all the time, but like, everybody's living their own lives too. And so we kind of have to decide if we're going to base all of those choices off other people or not. And like, some people are disposable, but some people are not.
Who, you know? Kelsey?
I'm making cuts on my friends list because I just can't handle the popularity anymore.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing about who you're cutting. We'll take that off air because I'm also cutting people.
Oh, we're cutting people off.
We're cutting people.
We don't have the time or the energy for some people. No, but that's the thing is, especially we live in an area like this where like we can get to the airport really quickly. People will come visit. We can go home. But nothing's forever, right? Like, say we live in London for 3 years. Like, what is that in the grand scheme of a long life?
Yeah.
And, you know, we just kind of have to plan for a long life and at the same time live like it's short.
I think that's a great way to end the podcast, Kelsey.
When did I become so wise?
It's all those quotes you've been hearing from me. It's finally seeping into you.
I am so tired of the quotes. You want to talk about living with Troy? It's like shots of wisdom before I've even had my morning coffee. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Kelsey Davis, thank you very much for joining me for the second time, the episode of the Found Generation podcast. I'll gather some feedback from the people and I'll let them decide whether we'll have you on again.
Thank you so much for having me. Love you so much.
Love you too.
Plan for a long life and at the same time, live like it's short. I couldn't have said it any better, Kelsey. Thank you so much for that, and I can't wait to drop the one on you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. after you've just woken up. Also, a big thank you to all of you who checked out this episode of the Found Generation podcast. Good news, I now have this portable equipment for in-person shows, so I will absolutely be taking the Found Generation on the road in the future as often as I can, so you can definitely expect more of that. It's more authentic. You can really connect with the person that you're talking to, so I will absolutely be taking advantage of this. If you want to support me or the show, you can do one of two things that would mean the absolute world to me. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can subscribe to my Substack page. Both of those are free, and the links to both are in today's show notes. Thank you for that. Have a great rest of the week, everyone. I love you, and I promise I'll talk to you all again very, very soon.